Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Action Network Podcast, named Best Betting Podcast or Radio Show by the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association, and the number one show for the invested sports fan.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
Four!
You got real talent. Don't concentrate on golf.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Action Network Podcast, the golf edition, of course. I'm Jason Sobel. He is Peter Jennings, and as a reminder, all odds courtesy of BetMGM, the official odds provider of the Action Network Podcast. And Peter, we are going into the last full official week on the PGA Tour calendar for this year, at least. And, you know, we've still got 38 more tournaments left in this season. So it's not like we're going anywhere too far, but at least we get a couple of weeks downtime after this week's Mayakoba Golf Classic. We'll get into that. Maybe talk a little bit about the match this past weekend. It was interesting, at least. It was entertaining. So what's going on with you? Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. What's happening?
Yeah, good Thanksgiving. Football season's plugging along. So hopefully that continues. And yeah, this is it. We got two Euro events that I'll be betting, but certainly the golf season slowed down, and then it gets to that point of the year where, you know, you just start being so envious. The Hawaiian swing. Every time I watch the Hawaiian swing, I'm just like, I got to get to Hawaii. Like, get me there right now. Just like, why? What am I doing with my life, and why am I not there at this moment? But doing well. How about yourself, Jason?
I'm doing great. I've covered that Hawaii swing probably 6 or 7 times. And I tell everybody, you know, because people ask me, you know, oh, what's your favorite event to cover? Everyone always expects the Masters, and they might think, you know, the Open Championship or even the U.S. Open, you know, and those are all good answers. But whenever someone says, you know, what's your favorite tournament to cover? I go, the Century Tournament of Champions. It's like a 30-man field in Kapalua. Every year they start late, they finish early, you got stuff to do, you're right on the beach. It's a pretty good time. By the way, a player who has won a Hawaiian swing event and my favorite play at this week's Mayakoba will join us on the pod in just a few minutes here.
Nice tease.
Yeah, how about that? A guy that I swear I'm not pandering. I'm having him on the pod because I picked him to win and then decided, let's have him on the pod and ask him, you know, does he like that pick? As opposed to, this wasn't, hey, let's get him on the pod, and then, hey, since he's on the pod anyway, I think I'll pick him to win. I mean, chicken or the egg a little bit, but I did not bring him on for us to speak with and then say, okay, I'll pick him.
How many podcasts have you listened to where they have the guest who's a professional golfer on the pod, and of course, you have to take him? I mean, that's the rule. But you picked him before, already had it, and then got him on the pod. I mean, I think that's pretty sharp, to be honest.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say as far as whether that's a smart pick or not. He might talk me out of it. He might say, you know what? Nah, don't take me this week. I don't like myself. I'm going to fade myself. But I don't think that's going to happen. So we'll speak with him in just a few minutes. Real quick, I wanted to get to last week's match between Phil Mickelson, Charles Barkley, basically just sort of dumping Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. It just goes to show my biggest takeaway from this thing, Peter, was the fact that you get a professional golfer, a very good professional golfer, and I don't really care who his teammate is. He's going to find a way to beat two very good amateur golfers. And, you know, that's basically what this thing came down to, was Phil being able to show off and strut his stuff and basically show the world that, look, +2, that's nice for Steph, 4 handicap, with an Augusta National green jacket in his locker there. That's nice for Peyton, but they ain't what I am. I'll take Charles with me and go beat these guys. And I thought it was fun. I mean, I didn't think it was, you know, groundbreaking. I didn't think it was the most entertaining match that we've seen. But, I, you know, hey, look, Friday, day after Thanksgiving, you're half passed out on the couch after all the tryptophan on eating all the turkey. I thought it was fine.
I enjoyed it. I had action on it, and I tweeted out before the match started that give me the professional golfer with plus money. So similar to your analysis, and Charles getting the tee box advantage was big, and taking the driver out of his hand was huge. I actually think Chuck deserves a lot of credit. I think my interpretation, just kind of knowing a lot about the players, Charles probably played an 8 or 9 out of 10 in terms of his outcomes, specifically had some unbelievable lag putts around the green, just giving Phil like tap-ins or short putts. So that was big. Phil obviously, I think, played above expectation. He stepped up for the shots they needed to. And, you know, Steph played a 2 out of 10. I mean, Steph didn't have his best stuff by any stretch. People are saying, oh, he's not a plus golfer. Like, you can see his swing. He's got a ton of game. He shot 71 in a web event. Like, there's a ton of pressure. Golf is a wild game. I mean, you and I know as well as anyone, like, some days you feel great. You know, for me, my great days, I can shoot in the 70s. My bad days, I can not, you know, I'm the worst golfer in the world. So Steph played bad relative to his expectations, still got to show off a great swing, hit some good shots. And Peyton probably played average. Peyton hit some really good shots and had a couple misses. I mean, he fights that low hook. And I thought that was, you know, I think Chuck and Phil should have been a small favorite. And then they played better collectively by a lot. And they, you know, basically murdered him. I mean, they won 4 up. So
I completely agree with you, Peter. I wasn't sure the right team was favored in that match to start with. So it does not surprise me that the underdogs were able to win it plus money. And first of all, Peyton Manning could use probably a bunker lesson coming out of that. There was a lot of sand in that match for him. And it didn't always go the way he wanted to. And the second part of that, you mentioned it, I had a lot of people on Twitter who were like, Steph Curry's a vanity handicap. He's not that good. Plus two, give me a break. First of all, playing on national TV and playing in a match like that, that's hard. Secondly, this guy has played 4 rounds on the Korn Ferry Tour and shot 74 or better against very, very good professional golfers in 3 of those 4 rounds. And I get that it was his home course, and I get that, you know, he was all set up for it, but he was set up for this one and didn't play that well. So, you know, he is still a very good golfer. I'm not sure that I would watch what he did this past week and say, okay, well, Steph isn't that good. He's not a plus. He can't. The people who think
one
they
time
can,
and he hit some good shots. You can see it. He had some power. I mean, he hit some balls really far, and like his irons, you know, he clearly preferred a cut, and he was just losing the ball a little bit right. And yeah, Peyton, I think, just generally struggles out of the bunkers. He's got a really inside swing. I mean, that's why he's hitting exclusively a draw, and like that type of swing's a little tougher out of the bunker.
Hope you're enjoying this great Action Network podcast. I want to make sure you know about the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On has a daily podcast on your favorite team.
Welcome to you, Locked On 49ers.
You are locked on to the Dallas Mavericks.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Let's go! Locked On podcasts are hosted by the local experts who know your team better than anyone and give you the inside scoop. So go to your podcast app and search Locked On, your favorite team. Subscribe to your Locked On podcast.
I want to get into our 5 questions we do every week. Let's get into them, and then we're going to get to this week's interview, and we'll talk a little Mayakoba Golf Classic.
Okay. First question. Every other question is 2021 related, since this is the last event of this calendar year. But the first question, do you remember the caddy that you've tipped the most in any golf situation that you've been at, and why did what did that caddy do to earn the best tip that he's gotten?
Played PGA National. This was 9 years ago, and I played it a few times, but played it one day with a few other guys who were just kind of playing their own ball and doing their own thing. And I, you know, my caddy and I started talking. I started asking about his career. He was a mini tour player who had a little bit of success here and there, but was, you know, looping just to make some extra money on the side, which a lot of them do. And basically turned into a 4-hour, 4.5-hour lesson, playing lesson, where he worked with me on my game as we were playing. And I thought that was really cool, and so I tipped him. I will tell you that I had a little tipping controversy the one time that I played Augusta National. The one place you do not want to have a tipping controversy.
This is a real story.
Basically, it wasn't properly communicated to us what the tip was supposed to be. And so I thought, you know, basically I thought club was taking care of everything, so I tipped the guy hey, here's like on top of what they're doing for us, here's this, which I thought was, hey, I'm going above and beyond. Like, I'm, you know, I thought they were taking care of everything. Apparently they weren't taking care of everything. I tipped them, which my tip was, it was okay. I thought I was doing more. So in any case, I rectified that problem.
My moment in time was in San Diego. I had a putt that was like 70 feet down a hill. He's like, put the ball here, 2 inches in front of me, went in for birdie in a crazy betting situation. It was awesome. A lot of fun. 2021 questions, since we're getting to that. What PGA Tour golfer wins the most PGA Tour events in 2021?
I'm going to change my mind on this 9 different times before this year is up, let alone next year, but I will at this very moment go with Justin Thomas.
All right, love that.
And I'm already, as the words are coming out of my mouth, I almost want to change to John Rahm, but Justin Thomas, and I'm going to stick with it, and I don't feel great about it. I would probably have to look through, you know, if you're going to give me odds and look through the odds.
That's a good answer.
I'll take JT. JT's been really close. You go Rahm?
Yeah, or DJ, man. I mean, it's hard enough. But I don't know how much these guys play matters a lot, too. Like, is DJ going to play a little less after the match? I mean, we'll see. So, Century, you talked about it's your favorite event to cover. If you're just going down to play a foursome in Hawaii, shout out some of your friends or whoever else. I mean, you can make any foursome you want. Mm-hmm. You get to play the tournament conditions right after at Century. You also are going to get to spend some time with these guys in Hawaii. Who's your foursome?
Give me, like, you know, I just want my buddies. Like, how about me and you against Phil and Chuck? How about that? How about that? The match 4 at Kapalua right after they play the event there. Me and you are going to take them for some big money.
Love it. Okay. What are you personally looking most forward to in 2021? 2020 has been a weird year. A lot of different lives have changed for a lot of people. Hopefully everyone, you know, our listeners are doing all right. But what are you most looking forward to in 2021?
I know what you better answer.
It's got to be something with a baby, right?
I would hope so. I mean,
a healthy baby is my biggest wish. You're right.
Of course. I am right up there in hoping for your baby to be healthy, of course, and happy, and you guys doing well, and everything going great with you guys. So, along the same lines, like everybody's health. I mean, let's just, you know, hopefully we get past everything that 2020 did, and, you know, 2021 is a healthy, prosperous year for everybody. And, you know, I'm not going to wish for anything too much more than that. And I'm not going to even try to get funny with it or anything as far as, you know, anything golf related.
Okay. I'm hoping for a baseball game. I had the healthy baby, my like smaller one is like, it'd be great to go to a baseball game again.
That's a low bar. I like that.
We've had this question a lot, and now I'm putting you on the spot for it. Who is the biggest surprise in the PGA Tour in 2021? You're buying stock in a player. And again, you get to set the parameters however you want.
Yeah, see, those are two different questions, but I kind of like the second question better.
Buying stock in someone.
I mean, you know, I've talked so much about Doc Redman. I don't know that Doc Redman's going to be the big story on the PGA Tour, but he might be $11 a share if he's a stock right now, and he might be double that or even triple that by the end of 2021. Doesn't mean that he's going to go win a major championship. Doesn't mean he's going to be the biggest name in the game. Just means you can buy low and get a pretty good price on a guy like that. Rahm, we talk about all the time. I mean, if you want to take someone from the bigger players, I'm still on the Finau bandwagon. I still think that at some point he wins one somewhere, even if it's a, you know, smaller event, and that just leads to the floodgates opening up a little bit because he does have so much talent. I think the law of averages catches up to him and he starts winning golf tournaments.
Yeah, I hope Finau takes a little bit of a page out of Bryson's book. Like, let's get Finau getting like 200 mile an hour swings like often. I mean, I can see that. And he kills it.
I can see it. Did you have somebody in mind for that?
Yeah, I'd say Fratelli would be the guy that I think is the big. I was so impressed with him at the Masters. He gained, you know, talk about a guy who went out and gained a lot of distance. And at the end of the day, like, if you can hit the ball far and straight, that's a big advantage. And he's already a good player. I could see him kind of creeping into the top 20 players or so next year.
Yeah, there's so many names. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we could take that, whether it's a Will Zalatoris, whether it's a Matthew Wolf to continue on his trajectory that he's on right now.
Hovland might gain some momentum again. He's playing this week.
I mean, I love Joaquin Niemann. I think he gets lost a little bit in the young gun talk, but he's a guy who's still, 22, 23 years old, and he's a really, really good player. But, I mean, there's so many of them. We could honestly, and that's what's great about the game right now. Peter, you and I can sit here for 20 minutes and just reel off names. of good young players, and we might not be wrong about any of them. They all might be really good moving forward for the next year plus.
Yeah, golf's in a great place, and I'm happy that we have it back this week. Interesting course. Kuchar, obviously, is one recently. What other notes do you want to get into with the course?
So it's going to be rainy. It's raining already, and it's going to be raining throughout the week. Don't be surprised if they're playing lift clean in place throughout the week. And I've got a guy that I've been thinking about for this week, Peter. And in fact, as I mentioned off the top, I was thinking about him so much that he's my favorite outright play. And so I was writing my preview, and I wrote him up as my favorite outright for this week. And then I decided, you know what? Instead of us just guessing, why don't we have him on here? So without further ado, here's my favorite outright pick of the week, Patton Kizzire, the former champion at Mayakoba Golf Classic 3 years ago, to talk with us about this week's tournament and maybe his gambling skills just a little bit.
He's been the talk of the course today with his amazingly bizarre behavior.
Very special guest, proud to welcome to the Action Network podcast, 2017 Mayakoba Golf Classic champion Patton Kizzire. Patton, thanks for joining us on the pod today. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm appreciate y'all having me on.
And I mentioned that you are the champion from 2017. We'll get into what's going on at Mayakoba. I know it's raining there a little bit right now. Was there a contingency that you would only come on the pod if I didn't mention anything about the Iron Bowl this week?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I was hoping to avoid that. That was quite a beatdown. I was hoping we would at least cover the 24 and a half, at least. But Alabama's so good.
I had Team Kizzire for the cover this week, 24 and a half. That's a lot of points for a team that's like, Nick's isn't the best quarterback, but you know, serviceable. He has good wideout core. I mean, you know, you got a couple of running backs. I guess they were banged up a little bit, but I just thought, you know, keep it to three touchdowns, dude.
I know. And we, you know, Tank Bigsby being banged up and us settling for field goals and missing some deep shots, you know, I thought we might get the backdoor cover there late, but we didn't. Alabama's so good. I mean, they're a complete team. It's hard to score with them. Mac Jones is better than I expected. Mm-hmm. And they're even doing that without Waddle. So, you know, they're going to be tough to beat.
Since you brought up the point spread, you brought up the potential backdoor cover, I will throw this out to you because I know that you've been firing games for a while. How's the season been for you? How's college and pro football going? We all, you know, I tell everyone all the time when people ask me, like, oh, what are professional golfers like? And I go, trust me, they're just like me and you. And one of the ways they're just like me and you and everybody else out there listening. Yeah, you guys hit a golf ball much better than the rest of us, but you still like watching games and you still like getting a little action on the games too as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love action. My season has been up and down like most. Luckily, I hit a big parlay Houston week. I think I had a Liberty money line, Florida money line against Georgia, and then Saints money line against the Bucks. Hit that, so that was nice. That was a three-game money line parlay, so that kept me afloat.
What do you think now that, I mean, we here at the Action Network have a partnership with the PGA Tour. I mean, the PGA Tour has gotten very into the gambling space as far as their investment in it, both in time and financial resources over the past 8 to 12 months. And so what are your thoughts on, you know, just basically being a gambler and being obviously on the PGA Tour, and not that you're, you know, of course we wouldn't suggest you're gambling on golf whatsoever, but just seeing that space open up and seeing the platform for the PGA Tour to get into the golf gambling space. What are your thoughts on it? And have you seen anything different? I know the fans aren't out there, so you can't really rely on fans yelling at you, whether positive or negative, when you're out there on the golf course. But has it changed anything as far as, you know, what you're seeing out there on the PGA Tour?
You know, we obviously, with no fans, we hadn't seen a whole lot of change. You know, I'm for it if it grows the game and the interest in the game and the fanfare and the, you know, the sponsorships and stuff like that. I believe I have a cap tech on my sleeve. I think they've been responsible for a lot of the, you know, technology, the real-time stuff. But what I don't want to see is somebody trying to manipulate their action during the tournament. That's what nobody wants. So hopefully they'll, I'm sure they have some sort of security or a policing of sort in action. So we'll see, but I'm all for it. If it gets fans involved and excited about golf, I'm in.
You hear that, people? When you bet on Kizire, it doesn't mean you can yell at everybody else's backswing is basically what he's saying.
Well, yeah, just don't do, you know, don't go the other way with it.
Yeah, well, don't yell at your backswing either. But, hey, yeah. What do you think about when people tell you they bet on you? Do you like it? Does it give you a little jolt and go, okay, cool, I'm going to try to do well for you? Does it go in one ear and out the other? Do you not care at all?
I laugh. I mean, I get it because I like the action, and I appreciate people being interested and backing me. That's cool. But, you know, I laugh, I smile, and just, you know, it goes in one ear, out the other. I think we hear it a lot, and it's kind of a, you know, I can't imagine me telling a quarterback in the NFL, hey, man, you're on my fantasy team. Do well this week. I mean, that just sounds so silly. So it's fun. I'm glad it's growing.
All right. Well, based on that, this is going to sound awful because you just set me up for the worst thing ever. But I told you I had a little surprise for you. And the reason I'm having you on, this is not pandering to you whatsoever, because I actually wrote my preview. And as I'm writing my preview, I wrote my favorite outright pick this week is Patton Kizire. And then I said, you know, let me text him and have him on and see, you know, see if he's going to back up what I'm saying about him anyway. So I'm going to be that guy that, you know, you're going to laugh at. I'm going to say, I love you this week. I think it's a great spot for you. You had your first career PGA Tour win there, as I mentioned, 3 years ago. You're playing well. You seem like you're a momentum type of guy. When you start getting going, you get going for a few weeks in a row. Is there any reason we shouldn't love betting you this week?
Not unless I get Montezuma's revenge or something down here. My game is rounding in form. I'm feeling good. You know, I got my family down here enjoying the Mayakoba, and I love the course and have great memories. So can't promise you anything. You never know what's going to happen, but feeling good.
Man, I wanted a guarantee there. I wanted you to just come out.
Yeah.
The guarantee. I'll give you the
five-star lock of the year. Yeah. Those always go well. You know how those go.
So tell us a little bit, because I do know that we have a lot of people out there, whether the state has just legalized it and you've just started gambling, or whether you weren't that into golf and because of COVID, golf came back first and people started getting into golf betting. But there are a lot of people out there who are listening to the pod right now or making DFS lineups who are gambling on golf who don't necessarily and haven't necessarily been big-time golf fans before. So for those people who haven't watched the Mayakoba Golf Classic and haven't seen you playing there, give us a little breakdown of what we should expect this week on the golf course.
It's target golf. It's really wet. The ball won't be rolling. It won't roll in the fairway. It won't roll on the green. You're hitting some fairway metals off some tees, driver, about half and half. But it's important to get the ball in the fairway because the fairways are pretty narrow. The rough is up. So coming into those greens, you know, being able to judge the distance out of the fairway will be crucial. And I believe you'll be putting your hand on the ball in the fairway, if I had to guess. So they're narrow fairways. So hitting the fairway is huge. But also, I mean, it turns into a putting contest. And these greens aren't that fast. They're good speed. So I think there'll be a lot of putts to make. It's just who makes the most.
Awesome. Well, I'm not changing my pick then. I'm sticking with you. You haven't talked me out of it yet. So
I don't hit a ton of fairways, but I know how to figure it out from the rough. I'm pretty good at the rough.
Come on. 3 wood off the tee a little bit this week.
I will.
Come on. Like, let's find those fairways. We'll pick the ball up from the fairway, you know, ball in hand, and we'll make some birdies from there. So do it for me.
I'll do my best. I'll do it for you. I'll do it for my fans, you know.
For a guy that had Auburn plus 24.5, I mean, you know, you got to help us out a little bit.
I know. Me too. We'll see. I'll see what I can do.
Patton Kizire, thanks so much, and good luck this week.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
I got to be honest with you. I get a little irritated when somebody calls me away from my golf.
Well, I don't know if Patton Kizire is going to win this week. I'm sticking by him. He did not give me reason to fade him whatsoever, Peter, but I am rooting for him even more than I was before. What a good dude. You know, just talking about Talking about having Auburn this past weekend, we were both on them, plus 24 and a half. That didn't work out. Talking about hitting a parlay a few weeks ago. Like I said during that interview, like just regular guys who have better golf swings than the rest of us, but just a good dude who likes watching football, likes betting on games, having a little action, and is going to try to play well for us this week.
Yeah, that putter gets hot. I mean, we talked a little bit about it. He is one of the best guys consistently with the putter and can get really hot with the irons. And this is a course where, you know, hit some fairways and then, you know, there should be – I mean, we'll see. Especially if it's lift clean in place, it could turn into a putting competition, which he certainly can win.
Hopefully, because Iyer plays well. Let's get into some of our other plays for this week here. Look at the top of the board, of course. We are looking at Justin Thomas right there at the top. I mean, this is sort of a do you or do you not this week. It's, whether it's DFS, whether it's betting, you're either on JT or you're off of him. And if you're off of him, you're doing it with kind of eyes closed and teeth gritted a little bit because he's obviously the best player in this week's field. And then, of course, Koepka's playing. DJ was supposed to play. He withdrew last week. Tony Finau, Daniel Berger, Harris English has been fantastic lately. Abraham Answer is, I think, on the verge of his first career PGA Tour victory. Hovland, we mentioned earlier. Ricky Fowler, Russell Henley, Will Zalatoris, Joaquin Neiman, Corey Connors. That's sort of the top tier there. Who is jumping out at you as a guy that you really like? And are you on JT this week? Or are you fading JT and going a little deeper?
Well, I think JT in DFS is really hard to fade. And spots where you're just looking at equity. I mean, he's plus 600 on BetMGM to win it. I mean, he's just a huge favorite. So you're getting a little more value on him in DFS, but he's going to come with high ownership. You know, motivation's a weird thing. We've talked a lot about it. It's kind of hard to predict. Sometimes he's down there, so I imagine he's motivated to play his best, but certainly not something he's trying to peak for. This is somewhat of a peculiar spot. Off Koepka, I love Harris English. He has been playing some really, really good golf, although he's priced appropriately now, I guess. So that's interesting. Love Answer. I think this is a really good course for Answer. He should find a lot of fairways. Obviously a disappointing finish at the Masters, but his ball striking was so good before that. So, I think Answer, we've been high on him. I think he's probably properly priced, which is a little disappointing, but I still really like him. And then, after that, it's interesting. Corey Connors is obviously a great ball striker, but won't gain as much with his distance. Someone like Emiliano Grillo, I could see playing well, but, man, the putter is a real concern. So, it's interesting. At the top of the board, I would normally say, give me Answer for sure, give me Harris English, but they're the third and fourth priced guys. They're ahead of Berger and Finau, and those guys have, lower name recognition.
Yeah, I think those are my two favorite DFS plays this week. You nailed it, English and Answer. I can't bring myself to bet Harris English, who keeps coming really close and playing really well. It's been incredibly consistent, 12 top 40 finishes in his last 13 starts. He's got two top 10s in his last three starts, but he's not winning golf tournaments. And so if you want to pay up for him to win this week, it just feels like a sticky situation. And Answer, who's never won before, he's right around 18 to 20 to 1 this week. And I have trouble paying that kind of price for a guy who's trying to accomplish something he's never before accomplished. And if there's one fade at the top for me, I'm looking at Daniel Berger, and I love Berger. I love his game, but he has now gone five straight tournaments. And remember, beginning of the summer, he was top 10 every single week. He's now gone five straight where he's not been in the top 10. He's gone 17th to 34th in each of those last five. Like, good results, fine, not bad, but he is still priced the way he was priced 6-8 months ago. And I think that the price has not moved in relation to how his performance has been recently. And so because of that, I'm probably off of Berger a little bit this week from that top tier.
Yeah, I'm always worried about his wrist too. He talked about how he wants to maybe do one more procedure on that. I wasn't buying Berger as much during that great stretch. He putted the lights out. Berger's a really talented guy, obviously a great athlete, and it was great to see him play well. I'm not as high. I'd say I'm fading Koepka, and I'm fading him. And we'll see, maybe Koepka. I mean, I hope Koepka keeps turning it around because he can kind of – not that he's the full villain, but it's great with all these personalities and characters, and Koepka is certainly one of them. So hope he can kind of, the Masters form was good. He's starting to find that form again, says he's starting to feel better, and a good performance here would be great. But I still – I don't have him in, like, that same JT class. And Yeah, JT's a big favorite, but he's still priced number two on the board, and I think I like a couple guys ahead of him.
Giddy up! Let's bet horses for courses.
Looking at the mid-tier, I have a feeling you and I are going to be on the same page with a few of these. Sebastian Munoz, just keep firing him. I actually love the fact that he missed the cut at the RSM the week after the Masters, sort of gets people off the scent maybe just a little bit, maybe keeps ownership levels a little bit lower than they might have been. Griot, you mentioned already, I'm on him. I have him written up in my preview this week. Of course, our guy, Patton Kizzire, this week you heard him talk about the vibes that he has, feels really comfortable there. Adam Long could be an interesting play. I've seen some love for Adam Long out there. Harold Varner III, at least for first-round leader. It's like if you're not betting Varner on a Thursday, you're probably doing it wrong at this point. Those are some of the guys sort of in that mid-tier, moving down a little bit. Doug Gim is a guy that I do like a little bit. That's probably about it from the mid-tier that's really sticking out. Anybody else in that range that you really like?
Yeah, you hit on a couple guys that I meant. Obviously, I think Griot makes a lot of sense. His ball striking is just absolutely elite right now. The one guy that I'm a little torn on that I need to just dig a little bit deeper is Ches Reavy. I do think this is going to be a really strong accuracy course. It's going to be amplified if it's lift clean in place. This guy is the epitome of a fairway finder, but current form not quite as good. But, man, he is like, in terms of course fit, especially with lift clean in place, he's someone that I'm looking at quite a bit. So what are your thoughts on Ches?
Yeah,
he hasn't been as good off the tee lately.
You put this golf course on the West Coast, you know, instead of being in Playa del Carmen in Mexico, you put this in L.A. or San Diego or somewhere out west, and Ches Reavy is a slam dunk play for me. I just don't like him outside of the West Coast that much. At the end, he won at the Travelers. And so he's shown that he can do it elsewhere. Yeah, I like Ches, and Ches is a grinder too. And that's one thing you're going to get. There's going to be some players, and especially players of some acclaim, who are going to be playing first week of December, knowing they have a few weeks off after this, and maybe not quite motivated to go out there and play their best golf. Whereas Ches seems like he's a guy who's pretty motivated no matter what the situation is every single week.
He plays stress-free golf. He just hits fairways and greens. I mean, what a life, right? I mean,
yeah.
His putting is just, for not being long and not being able to putt, I mean, that's what you have to do to be able to compete, and that's really what he is. So I guess one other name that I'd throw in that kind of same mold would be Russell Knox. His game is starting to come around a little bit. So I think he's somewhat interesting. I believe he's 80-1 on BetMGM. Not totally in love with Russell Knox, but in terms of, like, as of right now, I'm going to give a lot of course fit towards these accuracy guys. And, yeah, I'm assuming based on the rain and the weather and everything else that should line up. And I just want a lot of guys that find fairways. And you know, I mentioned Ches is, you know, losing strokes off the tee relative to some previous years, but he's still 7th and 14th in terms of driving accuracy. Russell Knox historically has been one of those guys that is really accurate off the tee. So 2021 season, obviously shorter time horizon, not quite as high, but he's normally like a top 50 guy in terms of driving accuracy. So mid-tier, I think he's fine.
And he's played really well in this fall swing as well. So yep. I don't mind that Knox play at all. A couple of lower price guys for me, Ollie Schneiderjans. I believe it's his last 10 starts, PGA and Korn Ferry combined. He has 5 missed cuts, but he also has 5 top tens, or 4 top tens and a 12th place finish, I guess. So he's been an all or nothing type of guy. But as long as you know you're getting that high ceiling and low floor, and you don't mind going for it, Ollie for a top 10 type bet, prop bet, I think is a really strong play. He's 14-1 right now to finish top 10. So I think that's a really strong play, and maybe not to win, but if you're spending low, if you're taking maybe JT this week or English and Answer and you want to just kind of fit some lower price guy into the lineup, Rob Oppenheim at 6,300 on DraftKings this week, a good buddy of mine. Rob's a really good dude and a really good player, and he's making cuts. He might not get you a W this week, but he's made 6 of his last 8 cuts. This is right up his alley, a shorter golf course where you have to be accurate, and I think he'd play really well there this week. And like I said, if you're only spending $6,300, basically anything after making the cut is kind of gravy, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really sharp play. Where I'm struggling on the, you know, there's some really long numbers on some of these guys who are definitely better than the number, but they're the bombers. So, like, you know, a Luke List is really long odds. Aaron Wise is kind of down there. You know, there's a couple other guys like Keith Mitchell who shows some high – I mean, he's been bad, but has high variance. Like Brendan Steele, who I, you know, a friend of the pod, who's going to gain some with his distance. Those are the guys that I'm looking at a little bit, and I just need to dig a little bit more. I like the Schneiderjans call for sure. I think he's towards kind of the mid-tier more, but Denny McCarthy's another guy that I like this week too.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we are ready to make our DFS lineup as we do every single week. But first, we are extremely excited to announce the Action Pods Tournament of Champions presented by BetMGM is now live. This is a free weekly Yahoo DFS tournament specifically for our podcast listeners, and you can join by simply clicking on the link in our episode description. The top 10 finishers each week will receive $1,000 worth of Action Network prizes, and the top five each week punch their ticket to the wildcard weekend grand finale, where they will compete for the grand prize of Vegas trip for two, valued at over $5,000, courtesy of BetMGM. Again, listeners can join this tournament every week of the NFL regular season. Just click on the link in our episode description.
Want to be a DFS millionaire? You're just one lineup away.
We're going to go nose to nose with him, and you're going to play better than you ever dreamed of, because goddammit, that's what I demand of you.
So let's get drafting.
All right, well, you know where I'm going. You can't have him on the pod and not take him in the lineup, because that would just be rude. And I'm picking him to win. Oh, yeah, that too. Patton Kizzire, 8,000 on DraftKings. Let's lock him in.
Yeah, I think that's a really sharp play. Obviously, feels good there. Love the interview. So, Patton, we're loading up. We're all in this week.
And by the way, and the reason why, and I haven't really mentioned this, I kind of alluded to it during the interview, but the reason why I like Kizzire this week is you go back and look at when he won, and he won at Mayakoba, this event late in 2017, then won again at the Sony Open, his second event in 2018, not long afterwards. And when he starts getting going, he really starts getting going. I mean, he is as big a momentum player as we have out there on the PGA Tour. I've often said this about a guy like Billy Horschel. When he starts playing well, he starts playing really well. Well, Patton Kizzire, when he's off, he can be really off, and he is far from our radar at times. But when he is on, he can play some really, really good golf. We've already seen Martin Laird and Robert Streb as big long shots this fall come back to places where they've won already and go and win again, despite having those big odds next to their names. And I think Kizzire is a guy that can do the same or something very similar to what they've done, Pete.
Yeah. And like I mentioned before, normally the putter stuff is hard to predict. Like, there's a couple guys that are really good putters. Denny McCarthy comes to mind. Spieth, obviously, for that, you know, stretch. Jason Day. Patton Kizzire is, like, always way up there in strokes game putting. I mean, 2019, he was 7th. 2020, he was 25th in strokes game putting. 2021 so far, he's 24th. So this dude, you know, in certain events, it comes down to, like, a lot of just putting competitions. If you want a guy that you to win a putting competition, it's Patton. And I actually, most weeks, you know, I'm really talking about the ball striking and everything, and it is important. It's going to be important to find fairways, but I think the way this course is typically played, putting matters a little bit more than most tournaments.
Good. I love hearing it.
So I'm on Patton, too. I think that's a really sharp call. Let's go contrarian. I think JT, like, you know, he's 6-1, so at 11-4, like, he's a lock for cash games and stuff. But for tournaments, let's go away from it. Let's go to a guy that we both love. I think he sits up extremely well here. That's Abraham Ancer. He's going to win at some point. It's not that he's, like, short, but he's more accurate and a great ball striker than he is, like, a bomber. So I think this is a good setup for him, and I think he can play really well here.
I feel like because Ancer is kind of short, I mean, you know, and I'm saying this.
He's, like, physically,
you know,
short.
5'7" and a half, like, you know, frame that I've got. But, like, people, like, you kind of look at him and you go, ah, he's, you know, kind of a short hitter. He's kind of, you know, a little guy. He mashes it. But you're right, this is a good course for him. He can keep it in the fairway as well. Really good driver of the golf ball. So
he's like a little above average in distance, but he's consistently in the top 20, top 10% in accuracy off the tee. He is a great driver of the ball goal because he's above average to average in distance, but very accurate. So it's not like Ches Reavie, who's like way down there in distance, but accurate. He's I really like him for this week.
Well, we spent some money already, and I'm going to spend some more money here with another guy that we really like, and we'll deal with the rest of it when we get to it. I think there's some options a little bit lower. So I'm going to go with Harris English at 10,100. Talked about how consistent he's been lately. Again, I don't know that you're getting the W out of English this week, but I don't think you're getting a miscut by four shots either. Yeah, I think he's going to be at least in the mix. Remember, he's a past champion at Mayakoba as well, so he's going back to some good vibes also, much like Kazire. So I'm going to lock in Harris English at 10,100. And we've got 22,000 left to spend for three players, so it's not terrible. It's not like we're scraping the bottom. Where are you going with the next one?
Yeah, one guy we didn't mention, I just want to shout out quickly, is Carlos Ortiz, who we recently saw one. I really like where his game is trending. He's someone who could surprise big time in 2021 as well. Bullish on him. We're not going to put him in this lineup, but he's someone I'm interested in. I will go, since we're going Kazire, let's go with the putters. Denny McCarthy's too cheap on DraftKings, 7,400, can make a lot of birdies. And, you know, there's correlation. I like having some good putters in our lineup, which we do. So let's take the best one.
All right, I like that a lot. I'm going with a guy I mentioned, high ceiling, low floor, but I might not play him in cash games, but in GPPs, and we're basically doing this for everyone who's basically firing a bullet to win some big money this week. And so if you're doing it, Ollie Schneiderjan's the guy that can get out there and go low and post some really good numbers. He's played really well at times. He's played fairly poorly at times, but that's okay. I like the upside, and at 7,100, I'm going to go with Ollie. You like that?
I do like that a lot. So Streelman's there at 7,500, which is what we have left. I'm pretty interested in Doug Ghim. That's who we're taking.
Yeah.
Let's go Doug Ghim. I like him. I think there's a lot of upside there.
Doug Ghim, 23rd and 14th in his last two starts at Sanderson and at Bermuda, which I don't think are too dissimilar from this golf course as well. Shorter golf courses, sort of tropical-type locations. I think that's a pretty good one. Doug Ghim's guy to me, Peter, who did not get nearly enough acclaim coming out of college from Texas as he deserved, and probably still doesn't get as much as he deserves based on sort of where he ranks among the young, recently turned professionals. I know it's been a couple of years since he's gone pro, but he's been playing well. He's nice and consistent. I think that's a strong play.
Yeah, and off the tee, he's more accurate than he is long, so I think that's a good fit for him too.
Abraham Answer, Harris English, Doug Ghim, Patton Kizzire, Denny McCarthy, Ollie Schneiderjans, leaving 100 on the table for this week's Mayakoba Golf Classic. I really like that team, Peter. Gonna lock that in right now, and it's been real. Oh, by the way, our 2020 season is over here. You and I will be back with a pod first week of January, previewing the Century Tournament of Champions and everything else that we're looking forward to in 2021. So another great year in the books. It's been fun podcasting with you. Of course, we've got the Gimme coming up Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and you can check that out on all our social channels. But what a crazy year, but I'm glad to be able to get through it and be able to watch and handicap some golf with you as we talk about everything on the pod.
Yeah, you're such a pro. I was going to talk about the Gimme too. Great pub there. Excited for that. And yeah, it's been a ton of fun. I mean, it's just been a weird year, and we got golf back kind of as the first major sport, and it's been an awesome season. And now we have the super season. I think golf's in a better place than ever. Sports betting's blowing up. So it's a convergence of those things on this podcast. And I love doing this with you, Jason. So it's been fun, and I'm looking forward to 2021.
It's been a blast. We'll get a couple weeks of downtime after this one, but good luck to everybody betting the Mayakoba Golf Classic. And yeah, okay, there's some other stuff, the Shark Shootout. You might want to go big on Charlie Woods in a few weeks. Look, if you can make money,
Charlie Woods playing that event. Kid.
Yes, Charlie is playing with Tiger at the Ritz-Carlton here in Orlando.
Oh, now I'm going to watch it. Okay.
PNC. So yeah, that's going to be really fun as well. So we're not done with golf. We're just done with the PGA Tour season. And of course, everything going on, football, we've got college hoops going on already. So it's been awesome. For Peter Jennings, I'm Jason Sobel. Good luck with all of your bets for this week's Mayakoba Golf Classic. And here's hoping you hit the green.
We're finished talking.